Hello, everyone, and welcome to our podcast, Jaeger CPA Review and More. This podcast is sponsored by Jaeger CPA Review, the course provider that deals only with the AICPA blueprints. Please go to the JaegerCPAReview.com website and look at our various products. And we believe in seeing is believing. And therefore, please look at our 3-day free trial. Pick a subject, and it'll give you 3 days free access, unlimited, to that product. And I believe that once you look at that product and see how it works, you will pick Jaeger CPA Review as your course provider. If you have any questions, you can reach us at 301-874-4900. If you press 5, you may even talk to Phil Jaeger. Take care, everyone, on your journey for the CPA exam. We wish you the best and good luck.
Good morning, good evening, whatever time zone you're in. Welcome to today's episode of CPA Review and More, the podcast, with your host, Phil Jaeger. A quick thank you to our sponsor, Jaeger CPA Review. Before I turn it over to Phil and his guests, I want to remind you that you can watch this podcast on our Jaeger CPA Review YouTube channel if you prefer a video version. And as always, if you or anyone you know would like to learn more about the CPA Review courses, go to our website at JaegerCPAReview.com. That's Jaeger CPA Review, JaegerCPAReview.com. Now, here's Phil.
Hello, everyone. This is Phil Jaeger, and welcome to my podcast, CPA Review and More. And it is sponsored, as you hear from, by the Jaeger CPA Review course, because this is the only way I get to sponsor my course. All right. Now, please note that we look for guests that have interesting backgrounds areas. All right. And this person today is one of those people. And let me introduce her. Chi, you want to give the rest of the name, Chi?
Yeah, my name is Chi Wen George, and I'm a CPA.
And are you an auditor at Defense Contract Audit Agency? Is that what you do?
Yes. Mm-hmm. I'm an auditor. So I'm an auditor for the federal government, and the agency is called Defense Contract Audit Agency.
Yeah, I used to give the CPA review course to them in Washington, D.C. All right.
Oh, you did?
Yeah. And actually, one of the graduates one who took my course back in, 1979, a long time ago, he became the Auditor General of the United States Army.
All right. Oh, wow.
And now he's
That's very
retired.
Impressive.
Yeah. Nicest guy. And he brought in like 30 people from all over the country because he wanted them to pass the CPA. All right. So it was like a nice little group, 30 people from all over Ohio. Trying to remember where they were all from, but we got to know each other because the course went for 5 months. All right, I used to go in there once a week, and this was in Alexandria, Virginia. I remember that. All right, so I saw that popped up, and Chi, you live in Colorado Springs, is that correct?
Yeah, I was raised here, so I've been here my whole life.
You were raised, really? You were there. How do you like Colorado Springs? I mean, are you a skier? I mean, obviously they don't have the mountains there to ski, correct?
But yeah, so it's a little bit of a drive, but I go occasionally. I'm not like an avid skier or snowboarder, but I like to go at least once a season.
Now, I lived in Colorado, as I told you, for 6 years, and I'm trying to remember. My daughter, all right, went to a sleepaway camp in Estes Park, Colorado, all right? Now, I'm trying to remember, where is Estes Park in relation to Colorado Springs? You know?
I think it's like northwest, like around 2-3 hour drive. So it's not too far, but it's a beautiful park. And I love hiking and getting out there. So it's really it's a great place to hike.
Not too many kids can go to a camp like that. We have the Rocky Mountains right behind you. And
yeah,
we visited a place called the Stanley Hotel. You know what that is?
I've heard of it. I haven't been yet. I need to go.
There was a movie with Jack. It was about this. What was the movie where he went crazy? And I don't remember the name of the movie, but It was supposedly part of it was filmed at the Stanley Hotel. And the Stanley Hotel was owned by the gentleman who started the Stanley Steamer, the car company.
Oh, right? That's so random.
Yes, and he moved to Estes Park because of his allergies and asthma. All right? So anyway, it's a beautiful, I mean, you can stay there. At the time we went there, they were just reopening it because it had gone bankrupt. All right? But it's a beautiful hotel. I mean, it's very Victorian. You know, I liked it. So, you know, I recommend anybody out there, if you go to Estes Park, Colorado, beautiful area. All right. In fact, any area of Colorado is beautiful. The mountain areas, I love the mountain areas. Breckenridge, all those. And by the way, I went to Colorado when I was older. And what I mean by that is I tried skiing. All right. Now, you don't do well in skiing when you start at an older age. My daughter was maybe 10 years old. All right. She could ski on the Black Slopes, which is the hardest slopes, the Moguls, which are all those holes, whatever. All right. But she loved it. And unfortunately, she went skiing twice up in Breckenridge and Vail, and she tore her ACL in both legs. I'll never forget that. But anyway,
oh, wow.
She tore her thing. But anyway, it's a beautiful area, Colorado. And the one thing I must say, if you're thinking about moving there, housing is very expensive, all right? And also very short supply of inventory, I understand, as far as housing goes, all right? So if you have real estate in Colorado, it's gone up in value, hasn't it?
Oh, yeah. I was lucky I bought our house a couple of years ago before it got crazy, because it used to not be like this. Like, the houses were very affordable, rent was very affordable, but it's been booming the last few years, and now the housing price has gone up, rent, everything. So it's gone up quite a bit.
Yeah, because when we left in 88, all right, it was a real buyer's market. And we barely were able to sell it at the price we bought it for. All right. And that was like $126,000. All right. That house today is worth over $500,000. It's ridiculous.
Definitely ridiculous. Oh,
yeah.
Yeah. But yeah, you know, I'm sure.
I had a view. I didn't have a direct view. If I went outside, I saw the Rocky Mountains. All right. It looks like a sort of like a painting. You know, that's how nice it is. All right.
It but, is. It yeah, is really it is. Beautiful.
I don't think I realized how nice it was when I was there. I took it for granted. All right. But tell us your background. You, and by the way, we've spoken before, you actually were born in Vietnam, right?
Yeah, I was. I came when I was a baby.
Right. And what city were you born in?
I was born in like 30 minutes outside Saigon. It's a city called Phu Duc.
Okay. And at that time, was the war over? I guess it was. And there was no fighting going on, was there?
No. So I was born in the 90s. So the war was way over. My mom was actually a refugee of the war. So we actually stayed in a refugee camp in the Philippines for about a year. And then we came to adjust. And then we came to the U.S. and settled in Colorado Springs and have been here since.
Actually, the area now, like, for example, Saigon, Ho Chi Minh. Is that a city, Ho Chi Minh? I'm trying to remember.
It's the same name. It's our same city, but different names.
And if you go there now, I mean, because I don't know if you've watched this TV show, House Hunters International, but people relocate from someplace in the States and they go to Vietnam. And they have unbelievably high-rise, modern buildings, all right? It is so different from when that war was going on, all right? Mm-hmm. But it's a beautiful city. Probably the only thing that would bother me would be the heat and humidity.
Yeah. Yeah. When my family goes back like every 5 years, and I take a shower like 3 to 5 times a day because I'm just so hot. I'm not used to it being out here in Colorado.
You need a hose to carry around with you, right?
Yeah, pretty much.
Where's your husband was born where? Where's your husband from?
He's from Arkansas. So the Air Force brought him to Colorado, and that's how we met.
Now, has he been to Vietnam?
No, he hasn't yet. We need to go someday.
Does he want to go?
He does. My parents do tell scary stories, so he gets a little scared and nervous to go, but I'm like, it's fine. It's really safe there.
Tell me a scary story.
Gosh, I can't think of it right now, but they would just say, like...
Was it when it was during the war? Is that how they tell it?
Well, you know, like, if you walk down the street, there'd be, like, pickpocketers or... Vietnamese people are very confrontational, so if they don't like something, they'll say it, kind of thing. But I don't think it might be like that for Americans visiting, maybe Vietnamese people, but we're just very like open, very honest and stuff. And I think my husband has a hard time with that. He's from a small town of like 4,000 people in Arkansas, so he's not very used to it.
I assume you've been to Arkansas, correct?
Yeah, we go every year. We're actually about to go for Thanksgiving in a few weeks.
Oh, that's nice. And is your husband is he have brothers, sisters? All right.
Yeah, he has an older sister, and we're visiting his parents. Yeah.
And the Clintons are from Arkansas, are they not?
Uh huh. Yeah, they are.
Where was he living in Arkansas?
He's from Dartnell, very, very small town, but Arkansas is made up of a bunch of small towns, anyways.
Do you like it when you go down there? Do you really like it?
I mean, there's not much to do, but it's kind of nice to get out there and disconnect for a little bit and just kind of get out in the country and have some fun and pretty much do nothing and just relax. So I didn't enjoy it at first when I was younger, but as I got older, I'm like, oh, it's kind of nice to get out here and just do nothing for a week.
Less of a hassle than in Colorado Springs, you know, Denver area. I'm sure it's so much more laid back.
Yeah, way laid back. So it's just nice to relax. His parents' house have a nice pond and stuff. We go fishing. We do a bunch of stuff outside. So it's really nice.
And you mentioned to them that I'd love to come there for Thanksgiving also, if they'd invite me.
Yeah, come over. Come have some dinner with us.
Just send me. just give me their address and I'll just sort of pop in, you know, tell them I want to get to a slower life because we're in Washington, D.C. and this is not a slow life. No. But anyway, tell us about, you know, when you were 18, what happened? You're basically writing a blog, all right, called CPA Mom. And what is that blog about?
Yeah, so I created this blog earlier this year. It's called the CPA Mom. It's a way to connect with other accountants that are accountants, CPAs. They're also moms. So my story is I actually had my daughter at a very young age. I actually got pregnant with her in high school and had her at 18. I was a single teen parent trying to figure out life, you know, at a young age, and I discovered accounting. So I went back to a community college, started school part-time, eventually worked my way up to going to school full-time while working and, you know, raising my daughter. So I ended up...
in Colorado, by the way? This was mm-hmm. So you went to a community college in Colorado?
Just start out. Then I transferred to UCCS, University of Colorado, Colorado Springs, and that's where I finished my degree. And got my master's. So I ended up finishing my degree around age 24, and I got my master's and my CPA a year later at 25. And I really struggled trying to find somebody to connect with. Like a lot of the resources I found online or talked to people, I felt like a lot of them, you know, weren't going through what I was going through. Like they were studying full time or, you know, or just focused on school, or they didn't have a kid to raise. So I just felt like I had trouble connecting with somebody and I had trouble balancing these things. But after I finished my CPA, I'm like, you know, I found out there's a lot of moms out there or parents or whatever that are struggling and need help. So I decided to start this blog and write about my journey of how I did it. And I write about how I pass as a working mom, which master's degree I decide, resources I use as a military spouse. Or I've also talked to many military spouses. They didn't know that there's this program out there that pays for your tests and helps you with the resume. So I write about all the resources I have and I give some free resources to people to help them through their journey and know that they could do it as a working parent, as a mom. They can become an accountant. They can become a CPA.
Are you happy you went into accounting before you took the CPA? Were you happy majoring in accounting?
I mean, a couple classes made me cry a couple times. But
it did. That's terrible.
But, you know,
I'm just curious. Which one is that?
Tax. I love tax, but that was just a hard class.
How did the gentleman teach tax? How were his exams? I'm just curious. Because my tax instructor in college gave open book, all right? He gave questions would fill in the blanks.
Oh, my God, I wish. Yeah. So
No, you don't wish. No, that was terrible. All right.
So UCCS was really focused at that time to become one of the top CPA schools in Colorado, which I believe they are now. But at that time, they were changing the program towards that. So I actually had the same questions on the CPA exam as my tests in school and my homework. It was very difficult, but I learned a lot and it really paid off.
And let me go back here. You liked accounting, except for the fact that it was difficult. You found certain subjects. How did you know you wanted to be an accountant, though?
So I actually wanted to be a teacher originally, but I was just really scared and nervous going into teaching. There was a lot of layoffs at that time when I went enter college. And then when I started community college, I took some business classes. I was actually running a franchisee with my mom. I was a nail tech. So I started taking business classes at the community college, and that's where I discovered accounting. I had no idea what accountants were or what they did. I just heard about it. I didn't know. But when I took the business classes, I really loved it. And I got introduced to accounting by another student. It just sounded something I really liked, like finance and spreadsheets and just organizing and all that. So I declared accounting as my major, but I actually didn't take an accounting class at that point. I was actually really scared because I didn't know what I wanted to do. I was just so young. So when I finally did take the accounting classes, I got like the top grade in the class and I did really well and I just loved it. I'm like, oh my gosh, this is my thing. This is for me. So I just went with it and kept going with it since then.
Did you consider finance as a major, a possibility?
I did. I did consider finance as a major, but it seemed like finance people with their job is more kind of going out and talking to people, and which we do in accounting. But that was one I was interested in. I kind of just wanted to kind of sit back and work on my spreadsheet, work my work. So that's kind of why I chose accounting. And I actually really enjoy it. So I'm really glad I chose it.
Now, do you get to speak to people like, giving a talk on your background, or you don't have a fear of public speaking, do you?
No, I don't have a fear of public speaking.
So do you do public speaking, talking to them about this, the background or what you went through?
Yeah. I haven't done any public speaking event, but talking to people, I talk to them. I don't just randomly bring it up, but when somebody's going through a hard time or going through similar situations. And also my blog is an outlet, but I would bring it up and talk about it and let them know that they can do it too.
How often do you write the blog?
So I also started as a creative outlet. At first I was kind of starting every 2 weeks, every month, but now I just kind of write anytime I get inspired, or a lot of times people would actually write me. They're like, hey, what order should I take the CPA exam? So then I'll write an article on which order to take the CPA exam. So if anyone reaches out to me with any resource or any question, I'll write about it right away. Some creativity comes to me, all right.
Do you get a lot of questions from military spouses about, what the CPA is like, that type of thing?
I get a lot of questions from a lot of people. I think military spouses, they're very specific on what resources they could use through the military with the exam. But I also have a lot of friends and coworkers and, anyone who's going through CPA and they hear your CPA, they want to ask questions. They want to know what's going on and your experience.
Is it only spouses who are in accounting, is that correct? Or are they already CPAs or are they going to be CPAs?
A mix of both. I've met CPA spouses or people who are testing or going through the process.
Because as you know, this nice young lady, Megan Lefcheck, who worked for me, I never say someone worked for me, it sounds terrible. She worked with me and she really was a very good student. She went to the University of Denver, and she's done well. I mean, she actually took the CMA exam also. And I don't know which is she just what is she doing now? She's still dealing with military wives, that type of thing.
Yeah, she actually created a group for military spouse CPAs, which she actually invited me to join. We had to meet up and talk to each other and share resources. And she did mention Jaeger, and that's how I came to know you guys, and she loved working with you guys. But it's great to connect with other CPA spouses, especially the biggest issue that comes up for spouses is moving to a different jurisdiction and getting their licensure. They have their own firm or finding a job that will work with them. and their schedule, especially with deployment or moving around and stuff. So that's a big topic that we have between CPA military spouses.
When you graduated school, you were living in Colorado, correct? All right. And you had to get, obviously you have to be licensed. All right. You're licensed in Colorado. Is that where you became licensed?
Yeah. So I'm kind of like the unicorn of military spouses. My husband has only been stationed here for 14 years. He originally was enlisted. He's a space operator, is a satellite operator in space. And most of the work is here in Colorado Springs. And then he got out, enlisted around 6 years, shortly after we got married. And then he became a reservist. So he's still full-time military. We get all the full benefits, but we don't move. So
that's the worst thing. Yeah. Relocation all the time. Yeah.
Yeah. So I fortunately haven't dealt with that, but I could definitely understand how the difficulties the other spouses face dealing with it.
What was the experience requirement in Colorado? Did you have trouble getting the license? Did you work for a CPA firm?
Yeah, I didn't have trouble getting a license. So while I was in college, I was part of this group. I was president of this club called Accounting Honor Society. So what we did was we reached out to firms in the area and have them come in and host an event to hire students. So I was able to get hired at one of the CPA firms through that. I started out as a tax consultant, and then I moved on but then I realized I didn't want to just do tax. I'm the type of person, like, I want to try everything. I want to do everything. So I switched to a small firm where I worked part-time while doing my master's, my CPA, and I did tax, auditing, and bookkeeping there. So for me, the hours weren't difficult. It was 1,800 hours, which could be done within a year if you work full-time. For me, it took 2 years because I was working part-time with my schedule. And then from there, I did work for another firm as well before switching to the government.
Now, is that 1,800 hours working in a CPA firm or 1,800 hours you have to have some attest function? Did you do some auditing? Do some of those hours have to be in auditing?
No, so the hours just has to be under CPA. It doesn't matter what work it is, whether it's tax or auditing, it just has to be under CPA here. So that makes it nice. But I do have some friends who find it difficult to find jobs under CPA. They might work for a private company where their controller or CFO let their CPA license lapse and stuff like that. So there are some challenges with that. So working in a CPA firm made it a little easier because, you know, you have to be a CPA there.
Yeah, that's the hardest thing is, a lot of people pass the exam, and then in most jurisdictions, it's usually working 1 year in a CPA firm or 1 year under a CPA who can sign off on your license. And I mean, how many people are dealing with that problem, do you find?
I would say about a third of my friends who are going through the CPA thing or finding a job to hire them out of school, which is part of what we said at the club, but also, you know, hopefully there are a lot of people hiring, but to find the right fit for you and what you want to do, that's also difficult as well. And then here in Colorado, when I was testing, they just switched. I think we were one of the last states to switch to the 150-hour requirement. So a lot of firms were dealing with that. They're like, oh, like these people can't work, you know, 65 hours all the time. Like they have to finish their master's too before they can even get or take extra. Master's is only one route, but they have to get the 150 hours before it was 120. Like, how do we deal with that and trying to figure that out as well?
I remember Colorado was one of the last states to have the 150 hours, and they had the bachelor's degree only. And a lot of people, I don't think you had a residency. People became licensed in, you know, Colorado. And the reason, I remember the governor, his reason was that there was a shortage of accountants, all right? And if they put that 150-hour rule, it was going to affect the number of accountants that they would have in Colorado. Now, I don't know what eventually caused them to change to the 150. I don't know if they got pressure from anybody. Are you aware of that in any way?
I'm not sure, but I know a lot of my friends, because it's been a recent change last couple of years, they'll finish their CPA, they'll finish their CPA exam, their classes, their experience, they'll submit the application for the CPA and they'll come back saying you're missing classes and you have 90 days to fix it. So they'll quickly enroll into an online class for 8 weeks and to try to get the 150 hours or the very specific courses they need. So that actually has been a huge challenge. Most of my friends, actually like half of my friends, if they didn't go to UCCS, went to a different college or moved to Colorado, they ended up having to take a class after they thought they were done with everything and they were ready to be CPA. So that has been a big challenge as well.
But I think how many of them that write to you in your blog or whatever, how many of them really have not found a state to be licensed in?
I don't think that finding a state is too much because the residency isn't a requirement. Like some spouses reach out to me, but like I meet all the requirements here, but we're moving here. And I don't meet it here and stuff like that. I tell them just to, if there's a residency requirement, to get their license in the state that they qualify for. You know, you don't, if you're living in Colorado, you don't have to have a license in Colorado to practice, depending on what you do. That's you might.
Right.
Yeah.
You only need the license if you can open up a firm or do accounting work and you want to be licensed in that state. Okay. But if you're going to work for the government or corporation, you can be licensed any place.
Exactly. So I tell people that, like, if you meet a requirement somewhere, get it there. Like, if so, don't stop. Like, keep going and get it.
Yeah, I mean, National Association of State Boards of Accountancy, NASBA, I think they have something where if you're having trouble getting licensed, all right, you can pay a fee to them. They will look at your experience requirement and see if it's of such that you can get licensed in some of the states that they're affiliated with. I mean, like, I think Colorado is one of those. Montana, you know. Now, that was 6 months ago. All right. I have not kept up whether they still have that program, but that's a big problem. You know, where do you get licensed? A lot of people say, gee, I passed this exam. All right. I don't want to work in public accounting, or I'm going to work for the federal government and I don't work under a CPA. So I have a terrible time getting the experience requirement. All right. But I think they've made it more difficult now because most states say 1 year in a CPA firm, or 1 year under a CPA. So they're actually cutting out people who are going from the CPA exam to the federal government, and they don't have the experience requirement. And I'm not sure if that's turning people off or not, you know, because there's less people taking the exam.
Yeah, I know one thing that when I talked to some of my coworkers about is they were originally pursuing a CPA or thinking about it or considering it, but then they discovered their other license they could get that might benefit them more, like a CIA or CFE or a CMA. I think, you know, like CPA is known as the gold standard because you do a little bit of everything and the process to get there, the experience, the education is very high and is very well respected. But a lot of people are realizing they don't need a CPA license to do what they need to do. They could get a different license, like a CMA. Like for me, I do auditing. So a CMA, they're like, okay, well, I've done auditing. I have the years of experience. I can get that license and that will help me get ahead in my career. So I think with all the new licenses coming out, people are looking at those as well.
Yeah, they're going to CMA because it doesn't require any experience requirement. Mm-hmm. You don't need the fifth year of college or school. And a lot of people are turned off with that fifth year because they have to pay for another year of tuition, that type of thing. And actually, the concern I have is that the number of people taking the exam is dropping. It's dropping. Mm-hmm. All right. And that's why they're coming up with this. I'm not going to talk about it with you right now, but there's that CPA evolution that they're dealing with. All right. But, you know, are you familiar with that at all?
I know a little bit about it. I've read briefly about it, but I don't have a deep understanding of it.
Neither does most people, okay? Mm-hmm. But, all right, supposedly they'll let you specialize in different areas, all right? But this is the icing on the cake, all right? In order to get the license, you still have to work in a CPA firm either 1 year or under a CPA for 1 year. So even though it looks like, hey, they're becoming, hey, they're smart. They know we're specializing in different areas and not necessarily public accounting. But when it comes down to the experience requirement, they still want to put you into public accounting. All right?
Yeah. And not everyone wants to do public accounting. You know, like right. The CPA could be used so many places. So, and I wonder if the 150 hour has made it drop as well.
Well, they're saying in articles I read that the 150 hours, more or less, is, you know, that ship has already sailed. All right.
Okay.
And in order to remove that, they'd have to get every state legislature, all right, to agree to that. And there is no way in the world that's going to happen. All right.
Yeah.
So the IMA, you know, which is the CMA you mentioned, all right. Have you thought about getting the CMA, by the way?
I did at one point, but after testing for the CPA, I'm like, yeah, I'm good. I'm good with one destination right now.
No, I understand that. But the IMA is in there. They're saying they know the problem people are having. All right. They're getting tired. They don't want to take the CPA. All right. They are pushing that CMA. And it's becoming very big overseas and also in the States. And it's increasing, I think. I'm not sure if it's domestic or foreign, but it's increased by 66%, the number of people going for the CMA. In fact, Megan, all right, who's a CPA, all right, she took the CMA, and she's both, all right? Now, I don't know, you know, once again, I don't know why she went for the CMA. I know why she went for the CPA, but, you know, the AICPA has to do something because they, you know, in 2 years, they're going to change this exam all over again, mm-hmm. right? And it's going to become even more complicated because they're putting a lot of IT on the auditing part of the exam. And a lot of this has not been tested in universities. And this is one other big problem, all right? They are telling the universities, we are going to set the curriculums for every university, every school, all right? And these universities do not want to be told what their curriculum has to be, all right? But this thing is going forward, and I think it's going to come to a point where someone's going to say, wait a minute, all right? We got to think about this thing before we change it, all right? I don't know if they're thinking about, they think about the decline, but they're not thinking about a way of solving it.
Yeah, I think they need a different approach towards this.
Yeah,
because, think what because it is.
It's made a change in your life, hasn't it?
Oh, yeah, it definitely has.
Yeah, and just about everyone I talk to says the same thing. Hey, Phil, all right, this has changed my life. With the CPA, I can do basically, all right, you worked in public accounting, but now you work for the DCAA. By the way, do you like doing audits, government audits?
I do. Actually, I'm surprised how challenging it is. I think there's a misperception out there. The government employees, you know, we don't do much. Or maybe I have that conception out there, like it's just like a 9-to-5, but I am learning so much. There's so many, in public accounting, all I did was financial auditing, but here I'm doing a cost accounting, incurred cost audit, forward pricing audits, accounting system audits. I'm doing a lot of different types of work, and it's actually faster paced than I thought, and I'm learning so much.
Where are you working out of your house? You working out of your house? Or
yeah, office? Right here. So I'm working in my
office. That's not bad.
Yeah, so I'm working from home. I'm a residential auditor. So any audits that's over $1 billion, they get assigned residential auditors. And they also have a mobile office that's very much like public accounting, where they go to different government contracts and audit. So I'm at the residential one. Before COVID, which I did not work before COVID, I actually got this job during COVID. They would go into the office, the contract office, twice a week and work from home the rest of the week. But since I've worked here, I started joining COVID. I actually only worked from home. I've only been in the office once for a few hours to get my badge.
Is that big at all? It.
Yeah, it's awesome. And it's great. I get to stay home and work in my pajamas.
What is your commute? 2 minutes? You go from the bedroom to where your office is downstairs?
Yeah, I have to walk down the stairs. So.
Hello again. We hope you've enjoyed today's podcast. Please feel free to send your comments or questions to phil@jaegercpareview.com. In the meantime, don't forget to connect with Phil personally on LinkedIn or the Jaeger CPA Review Facebook and YouTube channel.